Hello, and welcome to show number 2550 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Our goal with the beta, to be very, very clear, is door-to-door. So if we get enough people from the door of their house to the door of their destination, then we're happy. But if there are any errors, any issues in between, we will just keep developing until we get, you know, above a 90% success rate on that core metric.
And with the advent of AI, it will be interesting to see how this new navigation app works out for everyone.
Navis is a navigation app that leverages the latest artificial intelligence technology to help visually impaired users travel more safely and independently. We'll talk with Liam Geschwint, CEO of TouchPulse, about how the app uses satellite imagery, visual positioning, and conversational guidance to complement tools like guide dogs and canes. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Liam Geschwint.
Here's my tip of the week, is that if you really want to get involved with the project, if you really want to build out a navigation solution, if anything I've said, you know, strikes a chord and you think that there is still a problem out there for this facet of kind of the technology space, then my tip for the week would be to reach out to me and I'd love to hear from you. And anything you bring to us, we really place it at the core, at the center of our decision-making unit. So I welcome any information from any of you listening here today.
And if people sign up now, they have a chance to impact the directions of an application like this.
Absolutely, yeah.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Liam and learning how and why Navis got started.
Hi, everyone. My name is Liam Geschwint. I am the CEO and co-founder of TouchPulse, and we are a startup building AI navigation tools for people with low vision.
And you're headquartered in the Netherlands?
Yes, we're based out of the city of Eindhoven here in the Netherlands.
What is your background? How did you get involved in making apps for the visually impaired?
I actually started out studying innovation science here at the University of Technology. And we were doing a research project where basically we were seeing how we could use haptic feedback on like a sleeve on your arm. And the research question was really, how could we use the skin to communicate information if sensors were missing from elsewhere? And once the project was concluded, I said to my now co-founder, I said, okay, well, what if we try and actually bring this technology to people who may need it and try and find impact and some sort of value to provide to this community? So we very quickly learned that you cannot come to market with a solution, you have to find a problem and see potentially you can solve that problem with your solution. And this led us on a course of simply doing research within a very specific market, which was the visually impaired. And it didn't take us long to realize that navigation was still a massively unsolved issue, whether it was inaccurate GPS directions or obstacles or simply route planning apps that just didn't do the trick. There was a gap here. And at the same time, you know, we understood AI very well. There were a lot of AI engineers around us here at the University of Technology. And we thought, you know, it's 2023 at that time. ChatGPT just came out and it was clear that there was something special in hand and potentially we could use this to solve a problem that hadn't been solved before. And that led us to creating Navis, which is, you know, the first AI-powered navigation solution specifically designed for people with low vision. So Navis, navigation with low vision.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Navis, an artificial intelligence-driven navigation app designed for people with vision loss.
In the introduction, you talked about Navis and what it is, but maybe you can give us a better idea of exactly what distinguishes it from the many other applications that are available to visually impaired people for navigation.
Yeah, so there are plenty of solutions currently, right? Whether it's Blind Square, Voice Vista, Lazzarillo, you know, I've got them all on my phone, of course, trying them out regularly. I think there was kind of an element missing there, which was sort of intelligence. I think with the developments that we're seeing now, there is the ability to really collect a lot of data about the environment and then explain it in a way that feels seamless. You know, what we're doing with Navis is really creating an AI companion that can see from, you know, a bird's eye view using satellite imagery. It can scrape the data from your environment, understand, you know, potential obstacles that you might incur on your route. You know, you can ask questions to Navis about your environment, which were never really possible before. It's almost like carrying a digital human being with you as if you were walking with a companion. And the whole idea is, you know, making it possible for people to move independently while still providing them a tool which can, you know, offer a solution to, hey, where am I? Or, hey, what's around me? What we have now is a very raw version. It's simply, okay, how do people really want to interact with kind of a voice AI? And the future is really, okay, we can incorporate everything about route planning. We can incorporate directions, instructions. We can incorporate public transportation. And it's really important to iterate here that Navis is an app, but what we're building out is a support system. So Navis is really the AI assistant. It's the one that's super intelligent. It's the one you can talk to. It's the one that really understands everything about your environment. But AI is great, and we can see that the technology is moving very, very quickly. But there are still some niche cases and some edge cases where AI just simply cannot suffice. And that's why we're building out at the beginning of next year the ability to upgrade a call. So if you make a call to Navis or you interact with Navis, is how can I actually have a fallback to a human? And we know, especially in the US, that IRA is an extremely popular solution, but it's often quite expensive. So what we're trying to provide is AI-powered navigation, but if something goes wrong, either we're going to partner with IRA, especially in the US, or in here in Europe, we provide our own service where we always will be there. Whether it's through AI or through human support, there will always be a fallback, basically, where you're going from door to door, and we basically want to make sure that you get there.
I'm curious. You said you've tested personally many of these digital navigation apps for the visually impaired, but you're fully sighted. Do you put on a blindfold and do the experience as if you were blind?
Yeah, so I actually have a cane as well with a roller on the end. I've been trying to learn how to use it as best as I can. Of course, I haven't been through the official orientation mobility training. That's actually a plan of mine as well. But yeah, here in the office, we've got 10 blindfolds, and everyone who joins the team has to give it a go, basically, to experience what it's like. I mean, when I've used, you know, some of the apps, I can see where they're coming from, you know, whether it's Lazzarillo, I can see what they're trying to do, but there is just something not quite fitting there, whether it's simply that, you know, the sounds that come out of using some of these applications are just simply unpleasant. And I don't know if having a visual impairment kind of separates the taste really with the user interface. I find some of them are a little bit outdated. I would say Blind Square is probably the best app that I've heard from a lot of users, as well as Voice Vista, really, really good apps. However, Blind Square came out, I think, maybe 10 years ago now, has not really gone through much research and development. And there is a gap there where we can really leverage developing technologies. And that's our plan, really, is as it's important for everyone to know that because we've placed Google Gemini core at the center of how we process a lot of things and implement AI, is that as that technology improves, as Google's AI improves, so does ours, as them being our primary supplier. So I think I would never say anything bad about any current solutions. I just do feel, and it's not only my opinion, but it's the opinion of the 800 people who signed up for our beta for a good reason, is that there are problems that are unsolved, and we are really trying our best to bring a solution to those problems.
As you say, a lot of technology has really changed over the past even just few years with AI, and a lot of these legacy navigation systems don't rely on many of the new tools. And the other thing you mentioned was that Navis is sort of a companion, sort of like walking along with a friend. I get the impression with a lot of these other navigation apps that it's more of a one-way conversation. They're providing you information, but there isn't a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Pete is one of your 800 people checking out Navis, and we go out for walks together, and he turns on Navis, and he's, of course, got the AirPods, and then he's telling me everything he's hearing from Navis. So this is a multi-directional conversation going on.
You talked about using a cane and other navigation aids, and if you think about it, most blind people are using a cane or a dog or something else to get around as their primary mobility aid. And sometimes all they need is a little extra help or suggestion of where they are, where the corner is relative to them, what's coming up, what they're passing. And that's the kind of help that an app can give, so to be supplemental to the tools that they're already comfortable using.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that's coming as well in the beta, which is currently not in the alpha, is we've been working on a visual positioning system, because from the beginning, we knew that GPS inaccuracy was a massive problem, especially in built-up environments. And the difference between 5 and 10 meters is massive, especially if you're giving people directions, and especially if you want to be extremely specific about the kind of directions you give so that people can take an action at the moment that you give them the information. So what we've built out into our app actually is the ability for, at a moment where someone really wants to know their exact position or if they want clarification, is that they can take the phone out of their pocket and scan using the video camera for a few seconds. And what this does is it pinpoints your location based on information we know from Google Street View and Google Images. It's actually a Google technology that's already in Google Maps, but no one's really used it in this case before, where our plan is, okay, if we know your location really well, we also know where you're going to go next based on the route that we've planned for you. And in that sense, between two points, we can give you vibrations to get basically to that next checkpoint, you could say, in quotation marks, as it were.
This sounds like it will increase the accuracy tremendously of your wayfinding and pathfinding, so that your app has a much more accurate sense of where the human using it is.
Absolutely.
That's great. It also addresses the problem that I personally wish somebody would solve. So we have a neighbor who has a very large pickup truck that does not quite fit in his driveway, and it overhangs the sidewalk. And the problem is, well, first of all, it overhangs the sidewalk, but second of all, it's got very big wheels, and the cane always goes right under it, but the face does not.
Yes.
This is an issue that could use to get solved.
So it's important to clarify that in the beta, at least, we're not going to include vision AI. So in terms of temporary objects, we don't have the capacity to solve that. And our solution there actually is that there are a lot of companies in Europe, I'm not sure about the States, but there's a lot of companies already working on kind of live obstacle detection. I think smart AIs in Germany might be interesting for you. I met someone from Sweden as well who's working on something. It's kind of, if you think about building out a solution with AI, it sort of makes the most sense. Okay, let's just use our camera and... if you use ChatGPT on video call, can explain to you what's in front of you. Perfect, makes a lot of sense. But that's not what we want to do. What we want to do is incorporate that, partner with those companies. Then we've kind of got the live obstacles. So, for example, the truck overhanging on the sidewalk is not something that we would be able to solve until we either partner with something similar to Meta. So that would be probably the Echo Vision from Agiga, or we partner with a company who basically would be able to do those the live obstacle detection.
So you talked about coming to a corner or near a corner and taking the phone out of your pocket and taking a picture to get a more accurate representation of where you are. Do you envision eventually having that capability integrated into some of these smart glasses so people don't have to actually take the phone out of their pocket?
That's one of my big dreams, you could say. You know, if I could call up Mark Zuckerberg, explain our story, and convince him to let me collaborate with him on the Meta glasses, that would be my dream. Unfortunately, their ecosystem is closed, so we're looking to sort of similar companies. That's why I mentioned the Echo Vision from Agiga. We met them at the CSUN conference to really, learn from them. Hey, can we integrate the two technologies where we send a live video stream, or at least, you know, a few frames per second, where it would be a dream if we could do a visual positioning at all times. And then that's a different ball game, because the accuracy we're talking about there is centimeter by centimeter.
Right. So you need these smart glasses companies to open up their architectures to people like yourselves and provide an SDK so you can actually integrate into their ecosystem.
Absolutely, yes.
So I realize Navis is pretty new right now. In fact, the version I have is an alpha version. Is it possible, or will it be possible, to talk to the AI and ask a question and get an update?
We've actually been sort of struggling in a sense in terms of the philosophy of how to place the AI, because our initial idea was, okay, someone opens the app and then they just click on, you know, a button, and then they can talk with Navis, and that will be the entire interaction to get them from A to B. But then we learned very quickly that a lot of the time people, they don't want to click and then talk with an AI and have a kind of conversation. They just simply want to type in an address and then get the instructions immediately. So we're sort of in a transition phase at the moment. But the plan is that you can either click on the call button and plan your route the entire way, also getting your instructions through Navis in a conversational manner. Or you can just plan your route by typing it in as if you would do using Voice Vista, for example, or Google Maps. And then you're going to get your instructions. And then if you need clarification, you can click Call Navis, and Navis will know your route, know your position. You can ask questions, follow-up questions, whatever you like, basically. It just has all the information at hand. And then if you're still struggling, you can ask Navis to promote a call to you, to one of our human operators who will be there to provide you live support.
Oh, that's interesting. So those are two very different paradigms.
Yes.
One is you sort of get the route ahead of time. You know where you're going. You know what obstacles and street corners you're going to be passing. And the other is it will guide you as you're walking and actually give you one instruction at a time.
Yep.
So right now in the alpha version, can you do either one, or you haven't decided which paradigm to use?
Currently, we've got both. So if you open up the alpha version now, you can either click Call Navis and put in your destination, and then it will plan the route for you. So that's the one paradigm where you can do it totally with your companion, let's say. And then the other sort of more robust one at this point, at least in the alpha version, is that you just type in and then you get your instructions. And then there's kind of no sort of companion interaction. It's simply just an AI-powered instructions that you're given. And maybe that's also my question to you is, which one do you think would be more appropriate? Would it be, you know, you type in your destination and you can call an AI companion if you need help? Or would you like to just have the option from the beginning to take either the first or the second path?
I guess there's an argument to be used for both cases. I mean, sometimes before you're going out on a route, you might want to review the route. It's just like people in a car when we used to use real paper maps. People would look at the map and know where they were going, and then they would start driving. They wouldn't necessarily look at the map the whole way, but it's good to have an idea of where you're going. On the other hand, for a blind person, as they're navigating along down the street, it would be nice to have some coaching or some directions as they're in progress on the route. So I think both are appropriate.
Well, and as a sighted person, the paradigm that I typically use is if I'm going someplace I've never been before, I ask my mapping program, which is usually Google Maps, how do I get from here to there? I look at it, but I don't, you know, back in the day with paper maps, when you couldn't stop and look at the thing while you were going 70 miles an hour, you had to really study it. These days, I kind of glance at it. I get a feel for where I'm going, and then I just trust it, and I wait for it to give me the next detail. So, you know, it could be the same for a blind person trying to get someplace.
I think it's also part of our core philosophy as well, is to try and make whatever solution we build as adaptable and as customizable as possible. Because something that I'm noticing from the feedback that we're getting is that everyone has a different desire. And even in terms of kind of the radius of where we pull all the objects from, and, you know, how frequently you want to get instructions, you know, what the timing would be before you have to turn that you get your instruction, for example. All of this, our plan is to make it as customizable as possible. And I think the role of the AI should be up to the user to choose as well.
And I think that's really key, because as you say, everybody uses these things a little bit differently. They have their own expectations, their own needs, using in different types of situations. But you do want to give them some flexibility, because everybody's a little bit different after all.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
How are you going to monetize this app?
Our idea at the moment is really to focus on where we are here in the Netherlands. There are a lot of institutions here, for example, that are under a massive amount of pressure to make things accessible. So we're working with these institutions to make that possible using our support mechanism, basically, which is the AI level and then the human level. But for the rest of the world, our idea is to offer a subscription model, so around $20 per month for unlimited access to the AI. And it's difficult to determine now, but that's at least what the initial idea we have would be. And then, of course, for the human minutes, you would just pay for as many as you want. So we can't determine quite at this moment what that would look like per minute, but it would probably be around 75 cents or so per minute, and then letting the user determine how many of those minutes they want per month.
And then presumably the beta version will be coming out in early 2026. Do you have an expected release date for the full version?
Absolutely not. The biggest thing I think I've learned is that you can never plan more than 4, 5, 6 months ahead. The feedback that we're getting is really important at the moment, and we're learning more about what it is that people want. And I think we will know once we've released the beta and we get feedback from all of these people, whether we actually provide value. And our goal with the beta, to be very, very clear, is door to door. So if we get enough people from the door of their house to the door of their destination, then we're happy. But if there are any errors, any issues in between, we will just keep developing until we get, you know, above a 90% success rate on that core metric. And then we will look to, okay, you know, especially in urban areas, where does the role of public transit come in here? Because that is a whole other problem set as well. So it's difficult for us to determine when the commercial release will be, but we're trying to get it before next summer, you could say.
Well, this sounds like a very exciting new option for navigation, you know. Getting from point A to point B is an important skill to be able to have. And I think Navis sounds like a likely solution.
That is our goal. And yeah, we've got a great team, a very clear kind of mission. And we really believe that the technology can make this happen. And we're getting there day by day.
We'll have to keep an eye on how this works out and how the use of AI for some of these navigation apps really improve the experience for blind people.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the company TouchPulse and the app Navis, and how to contact them.
So Liam, if people want to learn more about Navis, perhaps sign up for the alpha or beta versions of the apps, how can they do that?
Yeah, so currently the alphas is closed simply because there are risks associated with asking people to navigate outside independently using a developing technology. So what we ask anybody who's interested is there is a certain period in January. We're probably going to open it up for 4 weeks to a certain amount of people, and the signups are still open. So we haven't closed the signups for the beta yet. And what you can do is you can go to www.touchpulse. So touch, like touching your skin, and then the pulse.nl for the Netherlands, and then /novice, NAVIS. And you can just click become a beta tester. You can put in your details, of course, email, phone number. There's an option to put it in your city. And the reason for that is that we work closely with cities as well. Our philosophy really is not just putting an app on the App Store. We are really working closely together with institutions and cities to see how we can make this a cross-collaborative project with basically Navis is just simply an AI tool that connects different stakeholders. So yeah, if you want, you can put it in your city. Of course, it's not obligatory. And then you'll get an email explaining any updates and we'll keep you informed. And then in January, you will receive a link to download it and give it a try. And yeah, give us as much feedback as you can, because all the information and all the thoughts and opinions you give us directly go to building out the commercial version that will be with you before the summer.
And do you have an email address where people can submit suggestions?
Yes, so we always invite people to send anything to feedback@touchpulse.nl, or you can, I always just like to have email conversations with people as well who are curious, and you can always send me an email on my personal at liam@touchpulse.nl, and I'm always happy to have a conversation.
Do you also have a social media presence?
Yes. So if you type in Touch Pulse, you'll find our LinkedIn, Instagram, pretty much everything. We are the only Touch Pulse, luckily. So you can find us on pretty much all platform that you'll be using.
How big is your team now?
So our team is still quite small. We've got a team of 8, and of the alpha testers, I think there's now 80 people that we talk with almost every day. And we're about to close some investment as well, which is going to help us expand things a little bit. But things are actually going quite quickly. We're about to release, at least for the alpha testers, there'll be a new version coming out within a couple of weeks, which is really totally redesigned user interface with many more features. So I'm very excited about that as well.
Cool. It's got to be a huge effort to put together something like this. I'm impressed that you've found the funding to do all that stuff. That's not easy.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. Let's just say it's been a lot of hard work. But yeah, me and my co-founder, we're extremely motivated by this whole project. We're loving every day of it.
In case you missed any of that, the audio, you can always find it in the show notes for this episode, which is 2550. And you can use the search tools to search for other navigation apps we've talked about by just entering navigation into the search tool on our website.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about blind fencing. Yes, that's a thing. Blind fencing combines orientation and mobility skills in unique ways. We'll talk with Pat Pound, a blind fencer, about techniques, equipment, and safety. She will explain how fencing parallels using a white cane, share training strategies, and highlight the physical and mental benefits of the sport.
I never thought we'd interview someone about blind fencing, but if you want to hear that episode, join us next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.